tonight, there is basketball in town, a sold-out, what is that name of that place?
Oh, College Park Center.
College Park Center, that's exactly right, Corby. We're told it's sold out tonight. Atlanta is in town to take on the Dallas Wings.
And hated Atlanta
Dream.
That's right. Yeah.
Led by Alicia Gray, of course. Their leading scorer.
Well done.
Anyway, just read it. Anyway, the Wings were kind enough to set up a visit we've been working at for a while with Paige Beckers.
You know what's funny is that going out there today at UTA, I couldn't believe, like, if you go to a Mavs shoot-around, it's kind of just walk in. You have your credential. No one really checks anything. You just kind of walk in and go sit down and you watch the shoot-around. There were about 14 levels of security at that place today, from parking to getting in the building to getting into a door to going downstairs. There's a ton going on that they want to protect them ladies and the UTA basketball team, which I think was practicing right after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they will move to Dallas in two seasons. And depending on the popularity, you would imagine there will be more dates at the AAC. Friday night is the first one, right? It's the first time the Wings have ever played there?
First time, yep. And Caitlin's in town, and I think it's...
And, bro, have you looked at the ticket prices?
It's insane, and I know it's near a sellout. I don't know if it's completely sold out, but probably about as close as it can be.
If you want lower level for Caitlin versus Paige, you're looking at... $250, $300
yeah,
on the secondary market.
Well, we were lucky enough to sit down with Paige for the first of what we hope to be our many conversations, as she is, she's awesome. So here we were earlier today with Paige Beckers. Hi, Paige.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing good. So is there any way that we can assist you and the future rookies of the WNBA to not have to go through the full season of college basketball, right into the NCAA tournament, if you're good enough like you to win a championship, that's great, right into the draft, right into practice, right into games, all within like a month. You got to be exhausted.
You said, is there anything you can
do? Yes, can we help you?
I wish. Obviously, don't want to take it for granted being able to play at this stage and at this level, but yeah, I mean, it's a crazy transition, especially for the rookies. Probably not best for player health, so hopefully something will change in the future. But as of right now, it is what it is, and you just keep on moving and balling.
Like, do you feel it? Like, I mean, is it adding up on you as we, you know, go into the season?
I'm not going to say that. I have no idea what it would have looked like if I hadn't came off a season, so I'm just playing the hand I was dealt and doing whatever it takes to get my body and my mind right to play. And so I'm not really, even really looking at it from that perspective, but just how can I be more mentally and physically ready that day?
What are the big differences, though, like structure at UConn? I'm sure there's a cadence routine to everything, and then you get thrust into this. On some level, it's probably a bit of a blur. There are some differences. What are you dealing with on that front?
Yeah, UConn had a structure for about 40 years since Coach has been there. So
right,
they have a culture in a way that they do things. And that's been set a long, long time ago. And you, walking in here, there's just a lot of new, like new GM, new coaching staff, a largely new team. So we're all just figuring it out as we go. And we're setting our new culture, new standards. So that's been different, but it's been a lot of fun because it's been a new journey and a new challenge that I really haven't walked into before. So it's exciting.
Do they pick your brain at all on... How did you guys do things up there? I don't know.
Yeah, I just bring things to the room. I feel like I'm a rookie, but I still have a lot of wisdom, and I come from a great place that has a great structure and is ran like a professional team, so I feel like I have experience in that way. So anything I can bring to the room, we're all leading from all of our positions, rookie, vet, second year, third year, whatever it may be. We're all trying to lead and grow and get better together.
So your arena at UConn, like, you're going to the AAC on Friday for the big matchup against Indiana, but you're kind of used to the giant crowds. Like, you guys had giant crowds probably since you were 18 years old.
I mean, UConn, the crowd was amazing. It was always a sellout.
Yeah.
It was a big arena that we played in Hartford and then in Storrs. And then wherever we traveled to, it was always a good turnout. So It's like the NBA arenas are different. Some of them we have in the WNBA. This one here at UTA is a little bit smaller, but I've had experience playing in front of huge crowds like that.
So, okay, so here's what I wanted to do with when we got a chance to visit with you is just kind of hear a little bit about, you know, your vision. Everyone, we're not going to beat you down with the same backpack picture that you've no doubt been shown by media 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
But that tweet's pretty wild,
mm-hmm.
that somebody had you slotted in 4th or 5th grade for stardom. What did you think you would always head to the WNBA? Was that the goal from early on?
It was always the goal and, like, the dream. I had grown up watching the Minnesota Lynx and that whole dynasty, them winning championships right in my backyard. So that was, like, they were everything I wanted to be, but I had no idea really how to get there. So with help along the way, my faith growing along the way, just my work ethic has always stayed the same. So just relying on my anchors and figuring out what I can do best to prepare myself to be able to have that opportunity. But I when I was young, I had no idea how it looked. I just knew I wanted to do it.
It's just such a journey, though, because I'm seeing, like, it. I don't know, 15 years old, 14, you're playing internationally in Argentina and in these major tournaments. That's not normal, of course, as it's probably normal for you, but just on the youth structure of, hey, we have a tournament 2 hours from home versus I'm going across the world to play. You had a lot thrown at you, so I do imagine these steps and progression are not that big a deal on some level, right?
No, I try to take everything in stride and enjoy every accomplishment, enjoy every failure, really, because it's all a part of my process and about learning and growing and getting better and maximizing my potential, my growth in the moment. And so I try not to take nothing for granted and think nothing is too little and nothing is too big. Like, everything plays an important role. So I really just enjoyed everything along the way.
You mentioned that you were a huge fan of the Lynx growing up. And we also know that you kind of modeled your game after Kyrie, who's here with the Mavericks now in Dallas. When you were first basketball obsessed, were you watching the WNBA and the NBA equally? Like, did you have a preference? Did you just consume all the basketball you could get?
Yeah. When I was younger, there definitely wasn't as much access to the WNBA as there is now. Like, there's WNBA League Pass and games that aren't on national television we can still watch. So that wasn't as accessible. But every time I got to go to the Minnesota Lynx games, that being so close to home, that made it easier for me to watch. And we can get it on our local broadcast. But the NBA was much more easy to watch. It was all over TV. So I think I watched probably the NBA a little bit more, but as like I talked about, the accessibility to the WNBA started growing and growing. You watch them equally because their seasons are kind of contrasting and mm-hmm. different at different times, but they overlap a little bit, but you can watch them both at the same time.
So what did your parents, we always talk about this with people that have, you know, really special kids in whatever sport there is, and maybe you don't remember this, but at some point I know they probably had the conversation of, like, what do we do with this? Because you were a very special talent at a really young age. Do you remember, like, a tipping point where they were like, we got to put you in something else besides the local team, the Y team? We have to get you going in a proper direction to foster this talent that you have.
I don't remember really a specific conversation. I do remember when I was younger, I was playing for the Minnesota Thunder, which was like a grassroots team in the AAU circuit. But then I wanted to switch to like a tougher level of competition. So then that's when like the EYBL circuit came to play. And I started playing on a North Tartan team who was in the EYBL circuit, which had the best players in the country at the time all competing in. And then me getting invited to the USA camp, that was like a kind of the, I would say, the tipping point for me and where I got to, I guess, broadcast my skill on a national level, because it was just like local tournaments in the Midwest that I really grew up on. And so once I got out nationally and started to get a little bit more, I guess, countrywide recognition, that's when things started to change.
You remember like first, second, and third grade playing with like the neighborhood kids in your school and scoring like 50 points or something like that?
Something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
This is Paige Beckers with us here on the Hardline. Very thrilled to be able to visit with you. So I'm a Wisconsinite, And I know my extreme winters a little bit and my extreme summers now. Been down here for like 28 years, which makes me old. But with regards to you, how's the extreme winter versus extreme summer internal debate right now?
Yes, I grew up in Minnesota, went to college in Connecticut, so I was actually asking for warmth, but this is a little bit different. I'm not used to this level of humidity and like toxic heat straight to your skin.
Oh, but yeah.
I'd actually much rather take it than the cold, so I'm really not complaining.
That's the right answer, by the way.
Yeah.
How are you adjusting to life in North Texas? When you first got here, you get thrust all of the cliches on you, the cowboy hat and the boots, and, oh, you got to eat this barbecue and you got to have Tex-Mex. But now that you've assimilated a little bit, how do you feel yourself kind of fitting in?
Yeah, just the same old page, just living in a different state. Enjoying the sun, but truly I've been so busy I haven't really had time to acclimate. I've just been living, being a hooper. That's really all I've had time to do right now. Other than that, just eating more Mexican food, eating more barbecue. I want to golf a little bit when I have the time, but
how's your game?
It's all right. It's
all right. Okay.
I'm beginner level for sure.
Okay. Yeah, no shame in that.
Just a couple of hoopers talking.
Yeah.
Hoop here with Paige Beckers.
I've never felt more connected to a fellow hooper than I did her.
I could tell. I could tell something was going on there, but that's fantastic. So that's part one. Let's pause there and then come back and ask, did I annoy her? That's next.
You totally did.
We are in the middle of our first interview we've ever done with Paige Beckers. Now, if you would have told me 2 years ago that we would be interviewing Paige Beckers before Kyrie Irving, probably wouldn't have believed you.
We're still working on Kyrie.
If you would have told me a year ago that we would have interviewed Paige Beckers before Klay Thompson, probably wouldn't have believed you. But this is the way it's going right now. And so be it. But I brought my kid who loves Paige and I told her before the interview started, it's the first time he's ever asked to actually come to an interview. And he's been offered before.
With a bouquet of flowers.
He just drops to a knee.
He was playing it very cool.
But
he was trying to avoid eye contact.
Not nearly aggressive enough, I thought.
No. But as a fellow hooper, which he considers himself, he was just impressed with her all hoop. Just vibe about her.
Oh, yeah.
It's all basketball, man.
Yep.
So here is part two with Paige Beckers.
So it's really weird because, you know, everybody was super excited to bring you into town. And then within like a month, the Mavericks win the lottery, and here comes Cooper Flagg. Can you imagine, though, like we're talking about you assimilating to a different environment and a different area and everything like that? But you're a little bit older. You've went all the way through college, right? Like you experienced all of that. This kid skipped a senior year of high school, and now he's coming here. Could you do that mentally as an 18-year-old? Like, boom, I'm going to wherever, L.A. or, Phoenix or Dallas or whatever, as an 18-year-old and doing what you're doing right now?
I mean, when you look at those rookie contracts in the NBA, I mean, I'll go anywhere. He's amazing. Like you said, to skip his senior year of high school, dominate the college game as a freshman who should be a senior in high school, to now being the projected number one pick. Like, I thought my life was moving fast. His life is moving insanely fast. And for him, like you said, to be still a young adult, going to be living in a new area, I'm sure he'll have family here, but having his own place, starting a new chapter in the NBA, I'm just playing against like 30, LeBron's like 40, so it's like, it's insane to me to think of a perspective like that where I'm 23, so I have like 5 years on him, so I definitely have a lot more experience just in life, but I know with his work ethic and his mentality, he's built for it, so I'm excited.
How wild is it though that you could have gone to Duke? He almost went to UConn, and now you guys are 1-1s in Dallas in the same year.
Yeah. I still give him a hard time about him not choosing UConn, but it worked out great for him at Duke. It's like Duke is like the women's UConn, so it's the powerhouse. But it's really cool just to come full circle moment and
can you pause it right there?
City of Dallas together.
She says Duke is like the women's UConn. Meanwhile, UConn's won more championships on the men's side than anybody else, like in the last 25 years, right?
The men's UConn is pretty good too.
Yeah, the Dan Hurley edition, for sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm watching you in the tournament and Cooper in the tournament simultaneously, not realizing he was going to end up in Dallas, but I remember a similarity, and it's almost word for word that at the tournament, your coaches, Gino for you and, of course, Shire for him, were both saying the same thing, and that is I almost have to beg them to take over a game a little more and be more of a killer, I think, is Gino's exact quote, is just your unselfishness and the way you play the game properly and make the right reads and so forth. At times he had to sort of turn the dial or flip the switch or try to engage Hulk mode or whatever it is. And it seemed like both of you guys had that same thing where the coach is telling you, all right, let's take this game over. Do you see that similarity at all? And am I right? Did you hear a lot of that at times?
Yeah, I don't think it should be mistaken because we are team players and we play the right way that we don't have a kill switch.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we're probably both misunderstood about, but it's the fact that we know how to play. We want to get our teammates involved. We play very selfish or unselfish. But we also know that there's a time when it comes to winning and what you're going to need to do. And it might look different for every single game. Like you can kill and just defend or make the right read. And it doesn't, being in kill mode doesn't always have to be in scoring. It's a way you take over a game in all aspects of it. And he impacts the game in every single way you can and contributes to winning at the highest level.
Well, I feel like maybe I said something that's slightly triggering for a basketball player, right? Like that's annoying to hear that, right? Sometimes?
No, it's whatever opinion you want to have, you can have it. But I just think we both know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
So what is the number one difference physicality from college to pros? Is that, if you had to describe one thing that was the most different, is that number one, you think?
Yeah, physicality and pace, for sure. Yeah. I think the speed of the game, obviously a shorter shot clock, and you're trying to get shots within early in the offense and transition. So pace and physicality, for sure.
I'm very interested also in your shooting, and you don't get to your level of shooting without having a routine, and probably a routine that you're on daily or whatever. And I'm just curious, can you tell us anything about what you go through? Because that's not born. That is working every single day to make it happen.
I would just say a lot of repetition. I don't have necessarily like a specific routine. I just probably get like around 500 shots up. And it's hard during the season, especially for me coming off the long haul of the college season and coming straight into the WNBA season. You want to balance in putting in the extra work but also getting the extra rest, so I'm like, it's an off season thing for me, and then during the season it's just trusting the work that you put in during the off season. And this year it's tough because like I said, I had no off season, but to build off what I did in the college season, just trust the work that I've put in for 20 some years to get here, and just be confident. I mean, this is a hard league to score in. You're facing the best defenders in the world every single night, so just being confident and trusting your work.
Are you able to deal with winning and losing at it? I mean, do you understand the process and how much time it takes probably to build a winner at each progressive level?
Yeah, I definitely I've grown to understand the importance of process and not being result driven, but being process driven and sticking to what we know, sticking to our habits, trying to build our culture, and as we continue to grow that, the results will show in itself. So trying to just build and grow and be the best version of myself every single day and carry that within how can we be the best version of our team every single day, and let the winning and losing take care of itself.
So like your college experience, you had to battle through injuries and you didn't win the championship until your senior year. You came back and made sure that you closed that deal. So that kind of up and down of, you know, am I going to accomplish my goal? Has that kind of informed your determination at the next level?
Yeah, I think everything in life has. I've learned that things like that are hard, they're worthwhile, and they take a long time to build, and not everything is pretty. There's a lot of highs and lows and ups and downs that go with the process of life. But as long as you, for me, it's always been my faith, my work ethic, just the way I carry myself. And if I know I'm doing things the right way, I can go to sleep at night and be confident in that and as much as I just want to figure it out in year one, I know it's going to take a minute and it's going to take some growth and some time. So I'm willing to stick it out and ride it out and continue to keep working.
You got family here? Like at all? Did anybody move down with you for at least part of the season or anything? Mom, dad, anybody?
No. No moving down, but visits for sure.
Are they come down here a lot or?
Every now and then. I have little siblings, so my parents stay pretty busy.
Okay. All right.
We know you got to run, so I wanted to make sure I ask you this, though, because I saw you at the Stars game. Do you have any hockey in your background, even watching it, going to it, or anything? Because obviously Minnesota, we're going to stereotype you as, mm-hmm. as a hockey person, but I didn't sense you had been to a ton of games.
No, I don't fit the Minnesota mold. I really didn't grow up in the... Obviously, I grew up in the hockey state, but I didn't grow up in, like, the hockey world personally. But, yeah, that was fun, though, to get to in that atmosphere when and somebody got a hat trick and I'd never seen all the hats on the ice, I guess.
Yeah, definitely
they play on ice.
Yeah. That's a key first step to the game.
I know you said it's been a whirlwind and your schedule has just been insane, but I wanted to know, in this process, who is the one person that you have always wanted to meet that you got to meet because of this kind of 1-1 and this next level of stardom? And who do you want to meet that you haven't met yet?
You can check us off the list.
Besides us.
Yeah.
All right. I got to meet Steph Curry. He's like a basketball legend to me. He's one of my GOATs. I met him through a connection. AZ, who played at UConn, she was with the Curry brand, and then he came. We went to some games, and I got to meet him and chop it up with him. But the way he carries himself on and off the court, I really admire. And then, like, LeBron and Kyrie are probably two that I would love to meet at some point.
Awesome. I imagine you'll meet Kyrie pretty soon.
I would hope so.
That's going to happen.
Sixth round, yeah.
That's going to happen. Well, Paige, thank you so much
for
your
time.
Yeah,
thanks for making time.
It's a thrill to have you in town.
Yeah, it's awesome what you guys are getting to do, too, playing at the American Airlines Center on Friday night against the Fever. That'll be a lot of fun. So continued success. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Paige, we'll see you. There she goes. Mentioned her girlfriend there at the end, AZ.
Not in context, but yes.
No. And I didn't know if there was a right way because, I mean, it was 2 days ago. That story surfaced that AZ Fudd, her teammate at UConn, had the phone turned around in a selfie that in the back of the phone said Paige Becker's girlfriend. And I kind of wanted to ask her, like, was it fine that the world found out about your relationship because your girlfriend had her phone turned around or do you care? But
yeah, it's not like they've made an official statement. So it's still kind of conjecture.
Right.
So you don't necessarily want to be the gotcha journalist that outs you.
No. And, you know, she mentioned that Steph Curry is a legend to her.
Yeah.
She's the one. And that's when my son, who's the Steph Curry fanatic, like just lit up. And then.
You like Steph too?
You do too. And so we were done and we took
pictures.
This
little indie band that we both like. Steph Curry.
And they,
what are the odds?
And Dave goes to Ike, goes, did you shake her hand? And he's like, yes. And he goes, well, look, she at one point had shaken Steph Curry's hand.
That's right.
And so by proxy, you have Steph Curry all over you right now.
Man.
No way.
I'll tell you, though, you want to talk about, like, wise beyond your years or just you can tell when someone has been famous their whole life. And I assume Cooper Flagg is going to be the same way. Like, there's no substitute for being the person that in fifth grade you're identified as the next legend.
I know.
And then, what, 5 years at UConn in
right.
that program?
Right. So she gets it, and there's a lot on her shoulders, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of cool. Like I said at the start of the show, I mean, she is kind of the door to caring about the league. And for the first time, her and Caitlin Clark are both going to play on Friday. And that seems like a huge sporting event in the city because for many of us casuals, and boy, am I ever a casual when it comes to the WNBA, but I will stop down and watch either of them play basketball because they're really that entertaining and that magnetic, or however you want to say it, they open the door, and there's value in that beyond like statistics, although their statistics don't need any help. The value of just like being the missionary for the sport, if you will, like, hey, they want to watch us, you know, because of these people, and there's different reasons. But again, you said it. It's the Tiger Woods effect.
Yeah.
On a different level that ultimately makes everyone richer, but also probably makes a lot of people in the league resent you because they were here first or whatever.
Well, 5 years ago, think about it. If we would have said there's going to be a scenario where the Wings and whoever, whatever WNBA team are going to play at the American Airlines Center, and not only is it going to be sold out, but the resale market's going to be crazy for, you know, $300-$500 a ticket. What would have possibly gone through our heads to make us think that that scenario could unfold?
No way.
Well,
what if somebody told you you're going to drive out to Arlington on a Tuesday morning to interview a Dallas Wings player?
Who?
Seriously.
But yes, they have reset the market for better or worse.
No, in ways, it feels like young Madonna bringing hockey to town and
seriously, that's a great comp.
Doing every interview, and I'm sure the team is like, okay, let's not ask her to do every interview, but she's actually turning a city on to a franchise that's kind of been a well-kept secret to a lot of us.
And it's the perfect timing because of the big show on Friday night.
Right. And also the perfect timing that it's like 1 year after Caitlin Clark entered the league. And so we're all like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, look what we found.
Yeah.
We have a prodigy. So
it was so funny, cool. Too. Michael, our engineer, he was setting up and we were in the film room. So it's a little mini theater type room with like 10 rows of seats, theater style. And we were kind of on the ground and we had a couple of seats set up on the first row of the theater. And then he put two folding chairs out. And I was sitting on one of the folding chairs and she was going to come sit on the other one. And we were in a little mini circle. And he looks at me and he goes, is that chair big enough for her?
How tall is she?
And I go, well, she's my height, basically.
And I think she's taller than you.
Well, you know what I mean. It's very similar. And he goes, but she plays basketball.
Yeah, she does.
Like she was going to sit down in that folding chair and her knees are going to be up by her chin.
Yes.
Yeah, why weren't you standing next to her so we could see if she's taller than you?
We're very close. Very close. She looks to be about between 5'10 and 6 foot.
Yeah, she's definitely taller than Ike.
Yeah, taller than Ike.
That's awesome. All right, well, thanks to the Wings for making that happen. And check them out tonight or Friday or both if you want to. So there
Indeed.
You go.